That will be a great day. You just think of the things that Brother Raines is now enjoying. That's quite a thought, isn't it? What a wonderful day that truly will be. To begin the message that the Lord has burdened my heart with today, I want to share some scripture with you from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn there to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to begin reading with the first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And that's reading from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, and Matthew's account of the Lord's temptation there by Satan. I want to use for a title today, Overcoming Temptation. I want to speak to you about temptation. We often, when we think about Jesus, when we think about what it was that He did for us, we think about, I suppose, more than anything, about what He did to make a way for you and I to be saved. We think about the suffering of the cross. We think about the things that Jesus went through, the crown of thorns that was placed upon His head, the beating that He took there with when He was scourged, and the verbal abuse that He took from the people there. We think about the nails being driven through His hands and through His feet, and the way that He suffered for us, not only physically, but the great spiritual anguish that He had in the crucifixion as well. We think about that. We think about His resurrection from the dead and what that secured for you and I. But you know, there was something that Jesus did, something great that Jesus did for you and I in this account that I have read from Matthew chapter 4. This wasn't just done, in my way of thinking anyway. When Jesus went and faced the devil the way that He did, it wasn't done just for Him to prove Himself. I believe that it did accomplish that. I believe that it did accomplish proving that no matter what, that the devil could not turn him away from what he had come here to do. But when Jesus went there in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil, there was great benefit in that. And I'm convinced that he was thinking of you and I when he did that. And there's great benefit for us today in what he did. But I want us to think for just a moment about the scene here and about the situation that has been read about. This is something that the Bible tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus to do this. I believe it was Luke that recorded that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit of God was leading Jesus there into this wilderness, into this solitary place to be tempted of the devil. Jesus prepared himself. And we need to understand, and I believe the perhaps one of the most important things for us to understand about this is that when Jesus did this, he did it as a man. Jesus faced these temptations in his humanity. You can read in these verses the things he faced, and you will not find anywhere in this that he ever used his deity, or he ever used the fact that he was, in fact, the Son of God with power to give him any advantage over this while he was being tempted. He faced all of these things in his body, and he faced these things as a man. And he prepared himself for this prior to being led of the Spirit into a wilderness place to be tempted of the devil. Jesus prepared himself by fasting to the point that his body was made weak. If you could imagine someone having withheld food from themselves, someone that is, as I said, a human being, because Jesus certainly was a man, someone to abstain from nutrition, someone to abstain from food and to fast for 40 days. If you could just imagine, and I'm not really sure that honestly that we can, but if you could imagine how weakened that would have to leave the human body, no doubt it would cause you problems sleeping. You would not have energy. I mean, you would be in perhaps, and Jesus was, perhaps he let this and took this to the point where he was in his weakest state. And it was in that state, and there was certainly a reason for him doing that. Jesus could have gone and been tempted of the devil without fasting, but he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights with a purpose. And when he went there, he faced the temptations of the devil in his weakest state. We can see in this the cunning and the craftiness of Satan. And I have told you before, and I'm sure that you have heard others say this before, that the Bible tells us that we do have an adversary. We have an adversary. Peter said that our adversary is the devil. And in saying that, he said that he as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he is out to do all the damage that he can to God's cause. He's out to ruin the influence of God's people in every way that he can. And also, you've no doubt heard this many times. It's very true. If the devil was not afraid to go against the Son of God himself, you can be certain that he's not afraid to tempt you and I. So Jesus went there in this weakened physical state and was tempted of the devil. And I told you in the beginning that I see in this something that the Lord Jesus Christ, in doing this, something that he did for you and I that I believe is still helping the people of God today. And I'll tell you what I believe that was. I believe that Jesus went there in the wilderness alone. He went there alone to face the full fury of the temptations of Satan so that you and I would not have to. Because of what he did, because of what Jesus did today, you and I never have to stand alone and face the full fury of the wrath of the devil. And if we did, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If we did, we would not be able to stand, because that he is stronger than us. His evil power and his wickedness is greater than us. And the only one that's really able to subdue him and control him is God. That is proven to us throughout the scriptures on many different occasions. Now, Jesus is referred to in the Bible as the second Adam. And when we are thinking about temptation, we can look back to the first Adam. We can look to the day when God created Adam and placed him there in the garden and gave to him a law to keep. And we can see the work of the devil in the lives of humans from the very first man that ever lived on the earth. Because there in the garden, here came the tempter. Man lived in a virtual paradise. And there was nothing wrong there for a time. Everything about man was pleasing to God. There was a time when there was no sin. There was a time when there was no unrighteousness in man. And when God looked at man there in his original state, all he saw was goodness. God looked, the Bible tells us, God looked at everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, including man. He was good. God created him perfect and upright. And the devil never likes it. Friends, listen, he never likes it when things are pleasing to God. He doesn't like situations that glorify God. It angers him. And so we see there that in the garden, the tempter came. We can see and read that God had said when he created Adam and brought all of the animals before him, and Adam gave them names. And we see in God's word that there was not a suitable companion there for Adam. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a rib from him and he made a woman. And he brought her unto Adam, and he gave her to Adam, and Adam loved her. He loved her. I'm convinced that Adam had a deep love in his heart for Eve. He loved her to the point that he said, "She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." That's how much that he loved her. And so when the devil came, when the tempter came, He knew exactly what he needed to do. He knew exactly how he needed to approach Adam. He didn't go to Adam first. You know, Adam had been directly given the commandment. In the day that you eat, you will surely die. And so the devil sidestepped Adam and he went to Eve. He went to that woman that he knew that Adam had a great love for, and he tempted her, and she in the process tempted Adam, and Adam ate, and sin came upon the human race. You see, the devil is not stupid. You know, if you have an enemy that's both powerful and clever, you've indeed got an enemy. The devil was clever. He was cunning. He was beguiling. And he knew how to approach Adam, and he knows today how to approach you and how to approach me. I was thinking today, I wanted to ask a question, and you don't have to raise your hand. If you want to, that's all right, but I'm not asking you to do that. I just want to ask you to think with me, if you will, for just a moment today. I want to ask this question of the people of God today. Can you look and see the times in your life where you know that you just gave in to the temptations of the devil? I mean, he came and he was tempting you, and you just opened up the door and let him come right in, and you were just willing to do what he was tempting you to do. I'm afraid that too often we are guilty of that. I know that we all sin. I know that. The Bible teaches us that. If John the apostle said, if there's any among us that say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I know that we sin. I know that we make mistakes. I know that we fall short of the glory of God. But you know, truly, with what Jesus did in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and his leaving the church in the world to preach the gospel to people, did you know that someday that everybody that's ever been born in this world is going to stand before God one day and face him in judgment? And of all the billions or whatever the number is of people that have lived in this world, there won't be one single person that will be able to stand before God and make excuse of why they didn't come to know the Lord. Not one. Man is without excuse. The Roman letter teaches us that even the things that we see declare the existence of an almighty God and declare the existence of the work of his hands, so that man is without excuse. Yes, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There's things all around us that proclaim the existence of God. And man is without excuse in not believing that. And the gospel has gone forth. And the word of God teaches us that before the end comes, that the gospel will have been preached in every nation under heaven. And there will be nobody that will stand before God and say, well, you're going to have to cut me some slack. I've got a good excuse. It won't happen. And by the same token, you and I today, when we do not have a good excuse for willfully giving in to the things that the devil tempts us with, because Jesus Christ faced every one of them so that we could have a way to escape them. I like what I heard. I believe it was Brother Wheat said this one time. I couldn't really think of any plainer way to put it. If you don't want to run into the devil, don't hang out in his neighborhood. That's good advice. Sin is all around us though, isn't it? I mean, it's all around us. And if you're serving God, and if you're trying to live your life for God, and if you're trying to do things that are pleasing to God, I promise you that the tempter is going to come. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to seek to devour you. He's going to seek to tear up your Christian influence. He's going to seek to distract you from the things of God. The things that the devil offered Jesus here, thank God that Jesus was strong enough. Thank God that Jesus was resolved enough to do what he did here to resist the devil, because if he would have given in to one of these temptations, we'd have no Savior today. We'd have no hope today. Thank God for his resolve, even in his weakened state. You know, Jesus only used one thing here to fight this battle. He used God's word. He used the sword of the Spirit. That was his weapon. The devil came to him and first tempted him with what no doubt would have been one of the hardest things that there would have been for him to overcome. 40 days without food, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of hunger. I don't know what it's like. I do not know what it's like to go 40 days without hunger. But I can only imagine that the Lord was facing some extreme physical pains. No doubt he was burning. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what hunger like that is. But when the devil came to him, knowing his weakened state, the first thing he did was said, "Why don't you command the stones to be made bread?" Boy, that'd be tempting to a hungry man, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be tempting? Think about that. If you had fasted for 40 days and your body was extremely hungry and you had the power, listen, Jesus had the power. If he would have wanted to command those stones to be made bread, he could have certainly done it. He had the power to do it. Amen. And to be tempted and just say, "Well, why don't you just turn these rocks into bread and eat them? You're hungry." I'm glad the Lord didn't do that. I want to read to you some verses of Scripture from the first chapter of the Epistle of James, that we might know why that we are tempted to sin. In James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. James wrote and said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So first, James tells us here that when we are tempted, that it's not God tempting us. God is not tempting us to do evil. And don't ever let us say that God is the one that's tempting us. He goes on and he said, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care for the teaching that many people do today where they say, well, temptation, you know, overcoming temptation is easy. It's not easy. I told the church here in a sermon just a couple of weeks ago that I don't care for these people that say it's easy to get saved, because it's not easy to get saved. It's hard for us to get ourselves out of the way and let the Lord have his way with us. That's hard for us to do. It's not easy for us to overcome temptation, because those of us, even when we are saved, we still have this nature of Adam about us. Friends, listen, I want you to understand today, and it's dangerous to us in our lives if we don't understand this, that we have the capability of doing horrid things. We really do. Through this nature of Adam, we have to watch that, and we have to be aware of that, and we have to understand that through this sinful nature that we still have in the flesh, that we can possibly do things that will greatly embarrass the Lord and that will ruin our lives as Christians. That possibility is with us all the time. And the worst thing that we could ever do is to think that we're stronger than what we are. That's dangerous. Don't ever say, look at a situation and don't ever say, well, I've got too much integrity to do that. I'm too good of a person to ever give in to something like that. Listen, when we think that way, we are falling into the snare of the devil. I mean, you're stepping right into his snare if you think that way, because Jesus taught his disciples that that was one of the things that we needed to pray about. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the only way that we're going to make it around these things in this life is by leaning on the Lord and the one that went and faced the devil and won the battle over sin and over temptation. I'll tell you what, there, friends, listen, make no mistake. There that day in the wilderness, Jesus won the fight. He won the battle. He was weak. He was tired. He was hungry. But he won the battle against the devil. Because every time the devil came at him, he took that sword. He took that sword of the Spirit and he wielded that sword. And he tore down what the devil tried to do. So when we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust and we're enticed. And the devil's right there. Right there. So don't ever say that you would never do a thing. I want to give you some examples. As I said, we make it through these things by leaning on the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And for you and I today to say, well, I would never do that. Look at that person. Look at what they did. You'd never catch me doing something like that. We better beware, and the Bible tells us that we better beware of that type of attitude because David, who the Bible says, and God himself said that David is a man after my own heart, and David gave in to temptation, and he sinned greatly against the Lord. David, I'll tell you what, David loved the Lord. There is no question in my mind he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's cause. He loved the Lord's cause enough that he was willing to go down there as a young lad and go out and fight that giant. David wasn't there for fame. He wasn't there for glory. He wasn't there for recognition. He was there because he saw there was a great cause in that. That's exactly what he said. Is there not a cause? David was there to fight Goliath because Goliath was defying the armies of the living God, and David loved God. That's why he was there. He was indeed a man after God's own heart. But I'll tell you what, he sinned greatly against the Lord. He sinned greatly against the Lord. If we look in Galatians chapter 6, the Bible teaches us there, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, doing what? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We struggle with this Adamic nature. You know what? Sadly enough, the devil, before he was finished, he offered Jesus the world. He couldn't get him to turn the stones into bread. That didn't work. Why don't you command the stones to be made bread? And the Lord's answer was, well, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone. Quoting, I believe, from the book of Deuteronomy. It's been written, man doesn't live by just bread. He said, well, then, you know, why don't you just throw yourself down? Because the Bible says, you see, Satan came right back at him with something that was written and said, you know, it's written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So if you're the Son of God, just throw yourself down. Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't ever do that. Don't ever tempt God. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt him. Well, then the devil offered him the world. And Lord have mercy on us. This is exactly where so many of the people of God have been snared. Satan offered him the world. Look at the world. Look at the glitter. Look at the glory. Look at all these things. Look at the riches of this life. If you will worship me, I will give these things unto you. And friends, listen, the devil has dangled that carrot before a lot of God's children, and they have given in and they have gone out seeking the things of the world. And they're gone. Amen? I mean, it's the truth. We may as well face it. They've gone out seeking the things, the things that satisfy the flesh, out there seeking fun and games and all these things, and left behind the things of the Lord. Temptation. I'm telling you, it's strong. It's strong, and I'm telling you that you don't have enough power yourself to overcome it. In 2 Peter, I just got a couple more verses I want to share with you. In 2 Peter 2 and 9, I urge all of us, listen, when you're being tempted, and you know it, I mean, we're aware of that when it's happening. We're aware. Paul once wrote and said, we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil, and we're not. We know when that's happening. We know when the devil is trying to tempt us to do something that's not right. We know that because God will speak to us and tell us it's not right. He will guide us. He will lead us away from temptation and lead us in the paths of righteousness. God will do that to His children. And when something's not right, God has a way of letting us know that it's not right. And if the devil confuses you and clouds the issue, let me just give you this advice. If you have to sit and think about whether it's right or wrong, you better be real careful with it. We ought to know the things that are right. And the Lord certainly has a way of letting us know when we're headed in the wrong direction. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I said that Jesus did this for us. There is one verse of Scripture that leads me to believe that more than anything, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. where the Hebrew writer wrote about Jesus in the office of high priest. And he said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Jesus faced the full fury of the devil's temptations, and through that it qualified him to be the high priest that he is today. You know, he came into the world. He was born into the world just like it had been prophesied. He came into the world. He did the work that God sent him to do. When the time came, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life. When the time came, he resurrected from the dead. When the time came, he ascended back to heaven to be with God, and he walked into heaven right up there next to God, right up there next to the right hand of God, and he just sat down. He sat down there next to God, and he's sitting there right now. Right now, interceding for you and I. And every time we face temptation, and every time we take it to the Lord, he's there to understand what it is that we're facing. He knows all of it. You know, you may encounter problems in this life from time to time that you're hard pressed to find anybody that you can sit and talk to on the human level that will understand what you're really facing. But I'll promise you this, everything you take to Jesus, he knows exactly what you're going through. He's faced it all. You're never going to face anything in this life that Jesus doesn't know how it feels. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And if we will stay on our knees before him, and if we'll depend upon him to lead us in the way of righteousness, we can live a life that will please the Lord. If we listen to the devil, we're going to mess up our lives. And we're going to bring reproach upon the name of God and upon his church. And so we've got to depend upon the Lord in the day of temptation. I'm thankful for God's sustaining grace and for his ability to deliver us from the things that we're tempted with from time to time. I appreciate your attention today, and I hope that something's been said that's been helpful to you in some way. I want to ask everyone again, please remember the memorial services for Brother Raines at 2 o'clock this afternoon at J.C. Kirby on Lover's Lane. And pray for their family, and remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. So thank you for coming, and thank you for listening today.